This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're interviewing Dr. Rishan Shah, a Texas-based cardiologist who is triple certified with board certifications in cardiovascular medicine, internal medicine, and interventional cardiology. He maintains offices in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas. And Dr. Shah, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And you're welcome, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you today. So for starters, if you would, define vascular health for our listeners so people have an understanding of this key health area to kick things off today.
Sure. Yeah, vascular health kind of applies to your entire circulatory system. So the circulatory system is consists of the heart, the arteries, and the veins. So if there's disorders in any of these, it can cause significant issues. Typically in the arteries and heart, you can have problems with plaque buildup, which causes blockages. These blockages in the heart can lead to heart attacks. Blockages in other extremities can cause something called peripheral arterial disease. And then blockages in your neck arteries, brain arteries can lead to stroke. There's also your veins, which take blood back to your heart. That's basically their entire job. So you can have clot buildup or leakiness in these vessels that can cause problems as well.
And I'd say that's some serious information right there. Thanks for sharing that. Now, what are the key warning signs that indicate a possible vascular health issue?
Right. So some symptoms that people can have. So if it's cardiac or chest, you know, you can have discomfort in the chest. You can have shortness of breath. You can have palpitations or fluttering in your chest. Some people might feel lightheaded, dizzy, or even pass out. If you have blockages in your leg arteries, people can have what's called claudication. This is basically usually discomfort in the buttocks or calf that gets worse when you walk and improves when you rest. Some people can also get wounds, sores, ulcers that are difficult to heal, and this can also be another clue that you have some arterial blockages. You can also have issues in your veins, and those people can also have leg discomfort. It's a little bit different. Those leg symptoms typically improve when you're walking because that gets the blood circulating in your veins. So those people will typically have worsening discomfort at the end of a day. They might have some leg swelling. They can often have restless legs. That is misdiagnosed as more of a neurologic problem when they actually have some venous issues instead. And then again, you can also get some sores that are difficult to heal too. The other problem people have with veins is blood clots. So that can also be problematic because those blood clots can go up to your lung arteries, and that can be a huge issue. But the other kind of thing I want to get across is many times people are completely asymptomatic. So there's been some studies, particularly in peripheral arterial disease, which as I mentioned is blockages in arteries of the extremities, that if you look at a group of people above the age of 65, some around 20 to 30% of people can have this, and many of them can be asymptomatic. However, if you look 10 years down the road, up to 70% of these people can have heart attacks and strokes, potentially amputations. So it's not just if you have symptoms. Many asymptomatic people have it as well. Some risk factors include having diabetes, being a smoker, being overweight or obese, having high cholesterol, high blood pressure, things like that.
Certainly a lot to pay attention to for sure. Now, are some of the popular vein cosmetic treatments provide any medical benefit here? Get into some of those details.
Yeah, sure. So what I like to tell people is the kind of spider veins or varicose veins that you see on the skin surface is really just the tip of the iceberg. The real problem is all the stuff going on underneath the skin surface. Just like an iceberg, you just see a little bit above the ocean, but the vast majority of it's under the water. So, again, many of these people can have leg discomfort, leg cramping, leg swelling, what we call neuropathy, which is kind of burning discomfort. Some people get itching. People can have skin changes, typically in the inside part of the ankle, swelling, ulcers. So the cosmetic portion, if you just treat the skin surface, that's going to kind of come back if you don't treat the underlying issue, and it's not going to help with your symptoms of, you know, pain or swelling. So this, what we typically do is we first do a leg ultrasound, just a very simple 20 to 30 minute test. We just put some, you know, it's just like having an ultrasound of a baby. We just put some jelly on the leg and we see if there's any abnormalities in the vein. And then if there is, we can potentially treat the underlying issue. There's multiple modalities. You can do something called a vein ablation, which is basically going in with a device that creates heat and closes down the bad vein and reroutes the blood to a good vein. There's something called foam sclerotherapy, which is injecting a chemical inside there. And then once you treat the underlying issue, you can always go back and treat the cosmetic issues on top. But it's definitely important to treat the underlying issue first, because otherwise the problems may just progress and get worse.
Dr. Shah, certainly thankful for your time and this information shared so far. Today we're speaking with Dr. Rishin Shah, a Texas-based cardiologist who is triple certified with board certifications in cardiovascular medicine, internal medicine, and interventional cardiology here on eHealth Radio's Heart Health and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Dr. Shah, why is it critically important to pay attention to our vascular health, and are there side effects further down the road to even worry about or be concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, vascular disease can be life-threatening, so it's definitely important to try to pay attention to it. So I think, you know, probably most of your audience knows that, you know, heart attack, which is part of your cardiovascular system, is life-threatening. But even the other portions of vascular disease, specifically blockages in your leg arteries, or otherwise known as peripheral arterial disease, can be life-threatening. An important statistic I like to tell people is that if you have a diagnosis of peripheral arterial disease, you actually have a higher 5-year mortality rate than having breast cancer. So more people will be not alive in 5 years with a diagnosis of peripheral arterial disease than breast cancer. So now that can be attributed to two things. One, the great advances that we've had in treatment of breast cancer, but also the seriousness of the peripheral arterial disease. It can also lead to amputation. So not only is it quantity of life, but it's quality of life. And even if you don't have an amputation, but you have significant leg discomfort while walking, there's a study that showed that the quality of life is actually worse than having chronic lung disease where you may not be able to breathe. So from those perspectives, knowing whether or not you have peripheral arterial disease is very important, especially if you remember what I mentioned before, that many patients are asymptomatic. The diagnosis is actually really simple. It's done by something called an ankle brachial index. So this is just a simple test where you put blood pressure cuffs on your arm and blood pressure cuffs on your ankle, and you measure a ratio. And so this tells us if there's decreased flow to your leg arteries. And as far as side effects, again, you have a significantly increased risk of heart attacks and death if you have this diagnosis. So I think most people are, you know, very aware of the problems if you have heart disease, but also if you have vascular disease, the risks are almost just as bad.
Dr. Shah, as we conclude today, what are three things one can start doing immediately or at least today to maintain better vascular health?
Sure. So prevention is the key. the preventing these problems are the best way to, you know, keep from having to see someone like me and prevent the problem. So it always goes back to lifestyle, lifestyle, lifestyle. So one, if you're a smoker, you definitely need to quit. Any little bit of smoking is definitely bad for you. And I would also include vaping in this as well. Many people are turning to vaping as an alternative to smoking, but we don't have any long-term studies on vaping, and I'm just afraid that it's going to come back in a few years, and we're going to know that it has all the same adverse effects that regular cigarette smokes do. Number two is eating a good diet and exercising. Just, you know, simple advice, but it's easier said than done. So when people ask me about my recommendations of what is a good diet, we don't necessarily go into any specific diet, because all the specific diets are just kind of tools in the tool belt. The general principles are more important. So this is, you know, eating a plant-based diet, high in, you know, lots of fruits and vegetables, minimizing processed food, decreasing calorie intake so we can lose some weight. Actually, an interesting article I just read last week says that if everybody actually ate the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables, we would actually have a food shortage in this country. So that just tells us how far we are from the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables. And then finally, it may be important to go see a medical professional. Especially if you have some risk factors such as being a smoker, diabetic, or if you have any of the symptoms mentioned before, it may be important to get you on some cholesterol medicine, blood pressure medicine, or to treat the underlying problem. So all of these three things can definitely help improve the vascular health.
Well, Dr. Shah, we certainly are appreciative of what you do in the space and for all the information shared here today on eHealth Radio. If listeners wanted to get more information on your practice, your various locations there in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, or to be in direct contact, where's the best place online to get further details?
Sure. So the name of my practice is Prime Heart and Vascular, and they can go to Prime HV, H as in heart, V as in vascular, primehv.com. We have good information about the entire cardiovascular system. We try to write some blog articles monthly and give our patients and other audience members more information about all these important topics.
It sounds like a great place to get all the details. Again, folks, it is primehv.com. Dr. Shah, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Dr. Rishan Shah, a Texas-based cardiologist who is triple certified with board certifications in cardiovascular medicine, internal medicine, and interventional cardiology with offices in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas. And for further details, visit primehv.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.